Federal managers have good reason to wonder what Congress will ultimately do for the 2017 budget. The threat of a continuing resolution means nothing new could happen until after the November election. Top brass at Homeland Security say they're paying particular attention to cybersecurity. More now from Federal News Radio, Scott Mossioni.
2017 could be a breakthrough year for cybersecurity if the government can get the money it needs to fund its initiatives. That's according to the Department of Homeland Security's Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications, Andy Osmond. The 2017 president's budget increases the cyber budget by 35% compared to this year. And for once, all that money's not going to the Defense Department. It's going to civilian agencies to try and combat and protect against breaches like the ones that hit the Office of Personnel Management in 2015. Here's Osmond speaking at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
The FY17 budget is a make-or-break budget. The Department of Defense has, I think, gotten from my civilian perspective, pretty steady and good funding for what they're trying to do in Cyber Command. We really have, relatively speaking, not put as much funding into civilian government cybersecurity. And if we're going to be serious about this, we have to put the dollars there. It's not going to magically happen without the resources to support it. And I think the 17 budget is truly a make or break budget for that.
2017 has money where its mouth is. Next year's budget calls for $19 billion to support a broad-based cybersecurity strategy and for enhancing critical infrastructure. About $7 billion of that would go to the Defense Department for its cyber strategy. The money also supports the cyber mission forces. Those troops are tasked with defending the cyber homeland and undertaking contingency operations. The rest of the money, though, is for domestic endeavors. Andrew Grotto, Senior Director for Cybersecurity for the National Security Council, says one important aspect of defense cyberspending is the $3.1 billion Information Technology Modernization Fund. Here's Osmond to explain the fund.
The IT Modernization Fund, the idea here is I'm running a legacy IT system. It costs me a lot of money to keep it running. And yet Congress is understandably reluctant to give me a big pot of money to buy something new. They want me to have the same amount of money, run the old thing, and yet also replace it with something new. And that doesn't work, because when you're replacing a big system, there's a period of time where you gotta spend a lot of money to run the old one, even as you spend a lot of money to build the new one. So there, for some period of time, you have to have essentially double the money. Now the idea, hopefully, is you end up with savings when you replace the old one, but for that period of time, you gotta have double the money. And that's obviously an approximation. The IT Modernization Fund is intended to bridge that. It'll give agencies what will essentially be a loan to run while they pay for the old system with their current budget. It gives them a loan to build the new system. And then they pay it back over time with the savings from having replaced that legacy system.
You may be asking, well, how does that exactly fit with cybersecurity? Luckily, Grotto explains how newer systems equal safer systems.
We have a long list of legacy IT spread across the government. We can bubble wrap it. We can wrap it in duct tape. You know, these systems were not necessarily built with cybersecurity in mind. So what we are doing to protect them is kind of, again, bubble wrap and duct tape. What we're finding is that in a lot of cases, what we expect to find in many cases, is that it is more cost effective, both from an immediate budget perspective, but also because today's legacy IT becomes, we don't want, potentially legacy IT in 5-10 years, that it's cheaper to replace it today than it is to keep bubble wrapping it and duct taping it. And what the IT Modernization Fund does is provide a revolving fund for agencies to basically identify systems that they have as potentially eligible for being replaced through this revolving fund.
It's unclear how much traction the fund's gotten from Congress, though. Several lawmakers told Federal News Radio they haven't had any discussions with the administration about it. It still has its backers, though. Senator Chuck Schumer recently sent a letter to the Senate Appropriations Committee about the fund. The letter states the fund would be beneficial to agencies by saving money over time and replacing aging and vulnerable legacy systems. Of course, the fund's only one part of the investments the government needs to make. Another area of investment is managed and shared services. Grotto says the government needs to be flexible on who manages the services depending on the function of the service and what agencies are using the service. But when it comes to shared services, Grotto suggests a starting point.
If I could pick one shared service, I would start with email, I think. I could wave a magic wand, just because that is the vector by which bad guys, and people in the private sector know this as well. I mean, it's one of the most common, if it's the most common way for bad guys to get into a system is through email. And if you can, you know, harden email, you'll go a long way towards reducing your attack surface.
Senator Tim Kaine, who spoke before Grotto and Osment, also had some ideas on where cyber investments need to go. Kaine says the cyber workforce needs big investments. Other areas include platforms and modernization. But there's one thing standing in the way of the possible progress cybersecurity may make in 2017, and that's the return of sequestration in 2018. It's almost impossible for government agencies to plan ahead when they don't have any idea what their budget may look like in the next year. Here's Kaine on sequestration.
The BCA caps basically and sequester sort of held harmless safety net spending, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, and core warfighting expense. Those were kind of held harmless. But everything else, non-defense discretionary except for defense other than core warfighting, were all affected by sequester. And so it's kind of like artificially we're just going to hold everything down. And I say, and people say, well, that's great. We should save money. And I said, okay, how many of you think we're doing too much on cyber right now? Of course, no one raises their hand. How many think we need to do more on cyber? Everybody raises their hand. So why should cyber, when it's not core warfighting, get affected like everything else? I mean, the notion of across the board anything is foolish from a management standpoint, especially areas, though, where there's a wide recognition that we're doing too little, not too much. So the first thing that we need to do on the investment side is hopefully get this BCA and sequester behind us.
Kaine says he has a provision in the defense authorization bill to mitigate sequestration. He also noted that just raising defense spending isn't good enough when it comes to cyber. Just as Osment says, cyber's not just a DoD issue. DHS and the FBI and other agencies need funds for cyber as well. Just raising the defense caps, Kaine says, leaves other agencies out in the cold. In Washington, Scott Massioni, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.